Hello and welcome to the Interfish Podcast, where we bring you the week's most interesting and compelling seafood news. I'm Drew Cherry, editor with Interfish, joined by executive editor John Fiorillo. A lot has happened in seafood news this week. What's new? But today, we really need to focus on one major story, and that's because it's created quite a splash in the sector. And that is the new Patagonia campaign against salmon farming. Nothing really new that Patagonia is anti-salmon farming. Patagonia founder Yvon Chouinard, he's been an avid fly fisherman for most of his life. He's backed many, many conservation groups fighting for wild salmon conservation. But a few years ago, farm salmon popped up on his radar, and he and the company he founded have turned their very sizable resources into efforts to end net pen salmon farming around the world. And while mainly that's been done by financing campaigns against the industry from Canada to the United States, Chile, Norway, along the way he's also made short films criticizing the sector and calling for a transition to land-based salmon farming. And they've used their food company, Patagonia Provisions, to compete with and put economic pressure on aquaculture companies. Now, last week, the newest salvo was a film released about the Icelandic salmon farming industry, which has been growing by leaps and bounds over the past few years. And Patagonia assembled a group of folks to combat it, including the singer Bjork, and including some officials from the United States, which we'll talk about in just a second. But, John, first take on the campaign and what it's going to mean. Is this just one more campaign that's going to be shrugged off, or does this have legs?
Before we go there, happy belated Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, yes, happy belated Valentine's Day to you.
Do you and your lovely wife celebrate Valentine's Day? Or
we do celebrate Valentine's Day, and we do this with seafood quite often. And I'm not going to talk about the kind of seafood that we eat, because that would expose some potential biases. So we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the seafood that we eat at Intrafish, because we want our readers and listeners to trust us and know that we have no dog in any fight.
I will tell people what I eat for seafood. And you know full well, scallops are my favorite seafood. Not that it influences my reporting whatsoever, because it won't. But that's what I love to eat when it comes to seafood. I'll eat any. But by the way, the other night, my wife and I and my son went out. It was my birthday, my 21st birthday. And we went out to Taylor Shellfish in downtown Seattle. They have a bunch of restaurants, and they're all super great. But they had something on the menu I've never seen anywhere before. Pink scallops from Sitka, Alaska.
Okay.
You ever heard of them?
Never.
No. Okay. Well, they're very small, like a nickel size, maybe a little smaller than that. But man, oh man, they were good. So anyways, I throw that out there just because, you know, I was surprised. I had never seen that. Anyways, I digress. Let me get back to your question. The Patagonia film. Well, yeah, I think your question was, it's just another in a long line of, you know, protest type film, Seaspiracy, etc., or are we moving the ball in a little further down the court? If it was not happening in Iceland right now, I would say, it's probably just going to get washed in the great, waters of media, because nobody focuses too long on things anymore. However, as all our readers know, Iceland has become quite the hotbed of protests against the industry. They're working on a new law to, further regulate salmon farming there. And for the very fact that salmon farming's been growing there significantly in the last several years or so. So I think it matters a little bit more than, sloughing it off as, oh, it's just another protest. Because in aggregate, you have Canada, you have Norway, even, you have Scotland, you have, everywhere you look where salmon farming has taken root. I would say in recent years, the social license to continue those operations has more and more come into question. I don't know if you see the same thing, but.
Well, we talked to Doug Sletmo of DNB 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and that was what he highlighted as well. And we chatted a bit about this in that it did seem probably 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, that there was a shift. There was a shift where Greenpeace really dropped its opposition to salmon farming, chose to focus on other things. WWF chose to engage. To create the Aquaculture Stewardship Council and other metrics to improve and make sustainability or make salmon farming more sustainable. So it seemed to me at that time that there was a corner turned. I think the salmon farming industry was articulating a bit more why it was a sustainable food and a healthy food. There were some other third party data coming out about salmon farming versus other proteins. So it felt like there was a little bit of a shift. But underneath, there's been this bubble, and it's happened on social media and online of campaigners in different pockets, people opposing it on the local level. That's continued to go on kind of in the background. And I do think that this film comes at a time when there is momentum, social license criticism has reached an area where there's a little more momentum than there has been in the past. There's no real, there's no real leader that's unifying all these voices necessarily. But Patagonia, with its size and its ability to draw star power, I mean, obviously, again, Chouinard, as the founder, he's been very active. He's been very visible and reached out to a lot of other high net worth individuals about joining causes. So that helps. That's a draw. But in addition, Patagonia, it's a major clothing company that is respected and loved by people all around the world, especially in the United States. And it is linked very much with sustainability. And I think it has draw, it has power when they choose some of these campaigns. So I do think this is a little bit different. Now, the other difference too is, and it's no coincidence, I'm sure Patagonia put a lot of thought into this, but Iceland is growing very quickly, as I mentioned. There's a lot of movement in that sector. So production last year, estimates are that it was about 39,000 metric tons. But it's expected to grow by 19% this year to 46,000 metric tons. It doesn't make it a huge part of the industry. It doesn't make it massive, but that kind of growth compared to where you're seeing either flat or contraction around the world, it is kind of one of the final frontiers for salmon farming right now. So a lot of factors are kind of coming together to make this campaign quite timely. And so I think this could have an impact, maybe more than some of Patagonia's films have had in the past, which have seemed to kind of come and go. It feels like this maybe has a little more legs than some of their past efforts.
Well, I think, you mentioned the timing, it coming at this point in time. And everybody knows that the global salmon farming industry is highly constrained right now, in all the major countries, Norway, Chile, wherever, growth is constrained by a myriad of factors, but mostly by regulation at this point. And it's not like those constraints are loosening. All the evidence suggests they're tightening, which concerns the salmon industry because if you can't grow, how are you going to meet market demand? And as we know, market demand for farmed salmon, unlike almost any other seafood in the last, recent period, continues to grow. I was doing the retail numbers for yesterday, and I don't know. I know this, I guess, but it just struck me that, in the U.S., the top five species, in the fresh seafood case, salmon's number one. We all know that. But it accounts for 45% of all fresh seafood sales at retail. And most of that is farm salmon. So to understand like the power of this product, the spread of it in markets, not just the US, but everywhere, is, they want to grow the market, of course. That's what producers do. But, the ability to grow production seems to be getting kicked in the knees more and more and more. And films like Patagonia, efforts, by other activists. I sit here and I wonder what's going to happen here because, when you look at algal blooms and you look at disease and you look at sea lice and you look at all these fish being, the fish welfare being impacted, is that getting better? Depends, but if it isn't improving, this industry starts to really kind of look a little troubled to me.
Well, it's interesting because yesterday the movie, the world's largest salmon farming company, reported its earnings, and it was another record-breaking year. Fourth quarter was, there was some a little bit of hiccups, but I mean, come on, hiccups. They're still pulling in an operational profit of over 1 billion euros. So, this is a company that has become very, very, very big. And with that demand that you're just talking about, I personally don't see the industry being half as big in 10 years, for example. No way. No way. Consumers have shown that they are willing to pay high premiums. Now, as the earnings roll out for stock-listed salmon farmers over the next couple of weeks, we are probably going to see, and we already have seen, some indication that there has been a drop in prices paid in the United States and Europe, more in the United States than in Europe, which is interesting. But still, people are willing to pay high prices for farmed salmon. And nowhere is that more reflected than in movies earnings. So these aren't companies, these are no longer kind of, upstarts. These are no longer companies that don't have momentum. We're talking about the level of the big poultry giants. We're talking about that level of presence in the market, meaning that the idea that Tyson would ever go away, for example, or JBS or any of the other big meat companies, the idea that they would go away is kind of preposterous because that's just what the market is demanding. Now, they may change. They may change their practices. And I certainly think salmon farming will do that over time, more and more. That could be moving cages further offshore, for example. I don't think it will be moving cages on or moving farms on land in any significant way. But there will be that as well. So there'll be changes, but it's definitely an industry that's not going away. So I think that element of social license is going to be important for them to make the case for growth, but I don't think it's do or die. I don't think that they're on the cusp of collapse if they don't address these issues. And I think you could kind of tell that from the movie CEO's comments yesterday, Ivan Vindheim. His comments about that when asked about Iceland, asked about the Patagonia film, was he said, "I believe reason will prevail everywhere, also in Iceland." That's not a defensive statement. Maybe it's even a little flippant. But that doesn't sound like somebody who's concerned that, oh no, if we don't address this, we're going to be kicked out of the country or the entire industry will shut down. He doesn't see that. I certainly don't see it either.
No, that's fair. That's fair enough. I just, you know, I see this feels like, do you remember years and years ago when there was so much anti-farm salmon sentiment out there, and whether it be from the wild guys or whoever, and it seemed like that subsided for quite a while, but it feels like we're kind of back there to me, and I think part of that is, you know, the evolution of social media and the ability for anybody to get any message out that they want, some true, some false, you know, the visual aspect of TikTok and Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So I agree. To be fair, I don't think this thing is going to collapse or go away. But their ability to grow almost anywhere that they are currently operating seems to be tightening more and more and more. So what's that mean? They get their production capped. Okay. What happens then? Okay. So the market, there's only enough fish to serve certain parts of the market. That drives up prices. There's a limit to how much consumers will pay, even for salmon. So, you know, that equation works, but it is not completely elastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, I do, and I think the industry wonders this as well, is what is that cap on the price of farm salmon? What is the point where consumers are going to push back? But again, boy, they certainly haven't shown that they are concerned about paying higher prices. They're paying so much higher prices than they were before. There's pushback, there is a ceiling, but as of now, it doesn't seem like we've reached that. So yeah, I mean, I think it's, like you said, I think it does have legs for a little, you know, for more than just a single news cycle. How much does it? I don't know. Given the pace of things, not only the news that we put out, so maybe we're at fault too for, you know, for the news cycle and the amount of news stories and shiny objects that come each day, but I think it'll last for a little bit and maybe result, at least in Iceland, in some momentum. I don't know around the world whether it will or not. I mean, let's think back. Seaspiracy. Do you remember that? Because I barely do. But at the time, it was massive, massive reaction. Everybody went out and watched the film. Everyone was up in arms. Can you argue that it actually had an impact? I don't know. Maybe we won't know until years from now. But maybe it's also just like social media magnifies messages and can level the playing field between, say, balanced news organizations and just an allegation. By the same token, there is so much noise and so many competing messages out there. So maybe some of this just gets lost. A 20, 30 minute film from Patagonia. Do people even have the attention span now to pay to those things and actually act on those issues? I don't know.
Well, you know, I think that's a great point. Seaspiracy, we all remember, oh my Lord, the world's coming to an end. This film is going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're right. Like, I don't even remember key aspects of it anymore. And I know people absorbed it, a lot of people watched it, but did they act? Was there any way to act on it? Not really, I guess, unless you just wanted to go vegan, and that's fine. But I don't think that's going to be many people's choice from watching that film. And a lot of these efforts are designed to get us off animal protein and into vegetable proteins and things like that. And for better or for worse, I got no problem with it. But if that's the goal, that's a pretty tough goal to achieve, I would think, on a mass basis. But again, I agree. These films come and go, and these campaigns come and go. I mean, do you think over time there's an aggregation of the message that sticks? Like tilapia is a good example. Remember when years ago, there was, tilapia was being raised in feces-filled ponds in China and blah, blah, blah. And that took off on social media across, well, you did the story on it. I should let you remember it better than I do. But, and that really hurt tilapia sales in the US market. I can't remember what happened in Europe and stuff. But, I mean, that's kind of one example of how it could impact things, don't you think?
Yeah, that is a good example. I don't know if it was because it was kind of early in the more broad understanding of what viral content was. That could have been part of it, because I think it was amplified across so many different platforms, and we know how that goes. If a story or an idea becomes amplified and gets reads and views, then it can build on itself. More people want to share it, more people want to click on it. And I do feel like that was a slightly different time, but it is a really good example, because there's no denying that tilapia has had a struggle since around that time. Now, there's many other factors involved there, but everyone that I've talked to and that we've talked to has said, yeah, that was a hit. That hurt us. I haven't heard the same thing about any of the campaigns that have been run in salmon farming against salmon sales. I was talking to an executive yesterday about these issues, and we talked about social license and the industry's sort of failures on that front to really articulate in a good way what the positives are. But he said too much emphasis is put by salmon farmers and aquaculture producers in general on the actual raising of the fish and the earnings per kilo that you get per fish you pull out of the water. And he said, we're all patting ourselves on the back that we can raise fish. Well, we've been able to do that for a long time. And he said, meanwhile, we're really not looking at what the consumer wants, and we're not looking downstream. So this goes beyond sort of perception and goes to kind of what you were talking about earlier, which is what's happening in the marketplace. And that's probably how you end up winning the battle. And in some ways, salmon farming has obviously developed a huge following, but they still have a long way to go when you lay it to the side of chicken or beef. And really, that's where a lot more attention, I think, could be paid. Social license, yes, really important if you want to grow a sector and keep a sector healthy. Absolutely. Has it been paid enough attention to? Probably not. But really should not come at the expense of building those markets, looking at how to develop new products, really understanding consumers. And I think it's safe to say, if you look at the salmon farming companies in Norway and around the world, there are very few that can say they've done something major to create a new product market, a new value-added product market. Yes, it's there, But I think Beyond Movie, that has the resources to do it, we haven't seen nearly as much new product development and new ways to get salmon into people's onto people's plates. And so when you look back on all these issues with Patagonia, with all these other NGOs and activists pointing out the problems with salmon farming, really a big part of the way to insulate yourself against that is to have a product that people just want, shrug, and eat it anyway, which is where chicken and beef are. I won't go on a tirade against chicken and beef, but they certainly deserve a tirade when you look at the amount of resources they use. And so has that stopped people eating red meat or chicken? Maybe a little bit. I mean, protein producers, like you said, John, are all kind of wringing their hands about the shift to more vegan and plant-based products. But safe to say that wave probably has, at least the early wave has crested. Funding has dried up and people don't seem to be buying it in the way that they were. So I don't know. I think maybe that focus for the industry, if they want to combat these things, yes, talk to the people on the ground. You better build up and get that social license, but not at the expense of ensuring that your product is in big enough demand that that it won't go away.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Drew hates chicken. I'm just going to put that out there so everybody knows. But no, I think you're right. This whole focus on production rather than food, I don't think it's just the salmon farmers. I think it's throughout the seafood industry where, you know, we lose sight of we're producing food, like a meal for mom and dad and the kids or whatever, you know. And that's, you know, that's a different ball game when you, like you said, when you kind of have to approach it from that point of view. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you just can't argue with the industry's success right now. I mean, as you pointed out, the prices are super high, demand is super high, and you know. It doesn't seem like consumers are absorbing some, you know, horrific message that, you know, the salmon are being beaten or, you know, whatever the welfare elements might be. So, you know, for now, so good, I guess.
Well, we will leave it there. Just a reminder, we are going to be at the North Atlantic Seafood Forum here in a few weeks, kind of kicking off the big show season. And then following that, we will be at the Boston Seafood Show. We have an event there on March 11th, our Seafood Leadership Breakfast. We have an incredible lineup of speakers. We'll have a couple of panels of discussions and debates about how to get seafood consumption growing again in the United States. We have buyers from Whole Foods and Hy-Vee that will be attending. We have Trident Seafoods, Highliner, Cargill, Acme Smoked Fish, Slate Gorton. Just an incredible lineup of people to give us insight. So you can go to intrafishevents.com and register for our event there. It is limited seating, so make sure and get in there and get your ticket. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast for free on Apple Podcasts or on Google Play. You just go there and hit follow. The great thing about that is that you don't have to wait and wonder where our podcast is going to be. It pops up right on your phone. Also, feel free to rate us. We can take it. If you want to give us 1 star, we can handle it. If you want to give us 5, that's better. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much, folks, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.